Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verses 19 through 31, and it's found on page 945 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. It's the word of the Lord. Dear God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The disciple Thomas doesn't get a whole lot of press in the New Testament. He's scarcely mentioned in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And even in the Gospel of John, he only gets three brief speaking parts. So he's not like Peter or any of the more prominent disciples. He's barely mentioned. But I've always had an affinity towards Thomas because we're both from Missouri, the Show Me State. I was born in Springfield, the southwest corner of the state. And I'm not sure where Thomas was born, but I'm sure that he grew up in Missouri because Thomas, like those old grizzled Missouri farmers, wants to be able to see before he actually believes. Thomas is a realist, and many of us, I suspect, are realists. We only believe that we can see and experience and touch. One of the things I like about Thomas is that he is a realist. He knows the way the real world works, and he refuses to believe anything that does not accord with his understanding of reality. So on that first Easter, when his fellow disciples tell him that "We have seen the Lord," Thomas says, "No, I cannot believe that. I cannot believe it until I'm able to experience it and touch that reality for myself." Unfortunately, Thomas often gets a bad rap. We have come to characterize him based upon one particular scripture in the Bible. He could have come down to us as courageous Thomas because in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, when Jesus hears the news that his friend Lazarus has died, Jesus plans to go back to Bethany and Jerusalem. even though he has barely escaped with his life there earlier. And all the other disciples do not want Jesus to go back to Bethany. They know that it's going to be dangerous to go back to Bethany and Jerusalem, that Jesus stands the possibility of being killed if he goes back. But it's Thomas who says, let us too go so that we might die with him. So Thomas could have came down to us as courageous Thomas, but unfortunately he comes down to us with the name Doubting Thomas because of his realism. Thomas refuses to believe when he is first told by his disciples, fellow disciples, that we have seen the Lord. Thomas says, no, I will not believe until I'm able to experience that reality for myself. If we're honest with ourselves, Thomas's doubt reflects the struggle that we all have deep inside of our hearts as we live in the tension between the reality that we know with all of its attendant suffering and pain and disappointment and the good news of the Easter proclamation that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. But Thomas, when he hears that good news, the good news of the resurrection, cannot believe it. He cannot believe it because, like all of us, his heart and his mind have been conditioned by the power of death. That is the reality that Thomas knows. That is the reality that we all know. If anything, the biblical witness tells us and shows us how deeply and perversely the power of death has penetrated all of our lives, so that we find it difficult to imagine a world and a reality that is no longer conditioned by the power of death. The power of death encourages us not to believe. The power of death in our lives encourages us to say no, no to the movement of God's Spirit in our world. No to the good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The Spirit and the power of death in our lives encourages us not to believe that the world in which we live can be a better world. It encourages us not to believe in the whole new reality of God's Spirit and God's grace and God's peace in our world. So Thomas on that first Easter says, no, I will not believe. No, I cannot believe. I cannot believe that Jesus is risen from the dead because I know too much about the world. I know too much about the power of death in our lives. Thomas wants to believe. He wants to believe in the power of the resurrection, but Thomas knows how pervasive death is in our lives. Thomas has seen the reality of death on Good Friday. He had seen that reality of death with his own eyes. He had seen how Jesus hung on the cross. He had seen the nails being driven in Jesus' hands. He was there when they thrust the spear in Jesus' side. And so Thomas says, I cannot believe. I will not believe until I experience Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, for myself. That same struggle takes place inside of our own hearts. It is the struggle between the old reality that is conditioned by death and the new reality that we are asked to believe as a result of the resurrection. It is important that we understand that the good news of Easter, the good news of the resurrection, is not just good news that happens to us after we die. Though that's very important. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. But the good news of Easter and the good news of the resurrection is about the new life. It is about the new reality, the abundant life that we're asked to believe and live into right now. Part of our hearts want to believe that. Part of our hearts long to touch that new reality. Part of our hearts want to believe in the peace that Jesus brings to us, the peace that passes all understanding. We want to believe that, but part of our heart says, no, do not believe that. The world is a place of struggle and conflict and strife. Do not believe that. That's not the way the real world works. Part of our hearts want to believe, We want to believe in the forgiveness that Jesus brings. We want to believe that we've been forgiven by God, and we want to believe that we are a forgiven community sent out into the world to forgive. We want to believe that. We long to believe that. But part of our hearts say, no, do not believe that. Do not believe that. That's too good to be true. Do not believe that. We want to believe the good news that we no longer have to live in fear. We want to believe the good news that God in Christ has defeated the powers of death once and for all. But part of our hearts again say, no, do not believe that. You know the way the real world works. There's a lot to fear. There's a lot to be afraid of. Be afraid. Be afraid of each other. Be afraid of the world. Don't believe that. We know the way the real world works. And so even though we long for that reality, that resurrection reality, even though we long for that good news that we hear on Easter to be true, we know how pervasive and powerful the forces and powers of death are in our lives. And we find it hard to believe. That's the Easter struggle. It's our struggle. Thomas reflects the struggle that takes place inside of all of our hearts between the power of death in our lives and the reality of the resurrection. It's in the midst of this struggle that Jesus comes to Thomas, not to belittle Thomas. Jesus doesn't say, Thomas, you idiot, don't you understand anything? Thomas, didn't you understand all the things I was trying to tell you? Didn't you understand what I was trying to convey to you when I was with you? Don't you understand that? Jesus doesn't say any of that to Thomas. Instead, Jesus comes to help Thomas in his struggle. He comes to give Thomas what Thomas needs in order to believe, so that Thomas too could bear witness to the good news of the resurrection. Easter reminds us that God's kingdom has already broken into our world, bringing God's peace and grace and forgiveness. And yet we are reminded how difficult it is for us to believe. We can't believe that. It's hard for us to believe that. That's the struggle that rages deep down inside of our hearts. I was reminded not long ago when I first came to Philadelphia of a news report that I read that happened in Camden, New Jersey, across the bridge. It was a sad and tragic situation about an 11-year-old boy who was tragically gunned down in an abandoned car that obviously served as his makeshift home. And equally as tragic as his death was the fact that no one in the community had heard or knew anything about it. They didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. And all of it is due to the power of death. People in the community were afraid. Maybe they were afraid of the people who did it. Maybe they were afraid of the drug dealers who the police surmised had a role in it. But they were afraid. So afraid that nobody came forward to talk and to bear witness to what they had seen, even when it meant the shooting of an 11-year-old boy. That's how the power of death operates in our lives. Many people in that community believe that what they experienced was all that they could experience. They believed that that reality was the only reality that they were worthy of. And even though those of us on the outside of that community may look at that and wonder how in the world could they believe that, how in the world could they restrict themselves to that kind of reality, the fact of the matter is that that is a microcosm for our whole world. We live in a world where we find it hard to believe that there is another way for us to live. We live in a world where we accept the reality of death that dominates our lives. We live in a world where we believe that because there are poor people, there will always be poor people. We live in a world where we believe that because there are hungry folks, there will always be hungry people. We live in a world where we believe that there are wars and rumors of wars, and there will always be wars and rumors of wars. That's just the way the world is. That's what the forces and powers of death want us to believe. You can't do anything about it. It's just the way the world is. That's just reality. But Easter reminds us that there's a whole new reality that breaks into our world. There's a whole new reality of God's peace and God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's love breaking into our world. And we have only to believe it. We long to touch that reality. We long to believe it. We long to experience it. We want to experience it. We want to experience God's reality. But the power of death in our lives says, no, do not believe that. No, accept things the way that they are. No, no, no. But Easter reminds us that God has said, yes, yes, yes. There's another reality. God is already transforming our world. God is already making all things new. Jesus gives Thomas what Thomas needs in order to believe. And Jesus gives that early Christian community, the disciples, what they need to believe. Jesus gives them peace. And Jesus gives them his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that will sustain them, the Spirit that will help them in their struggle as they struggle to bear witness to the resurrection, not only in their own lives, but in the world. And Jesus gives all of us what we need too. He gives us what we need to go out into the world to be his witnesses and to bear witness to the power of the resurrection. John is writing his gospel, of course, for all of us. He's writing his gospel for all of those who were not around and who were not able to experience the presence of Jesus on that first Easter morning. He's writing his gospel for those of us who are not able to put our hands in Jesus' wounds and to place our hands in his side. Many of us have not and are not able to experience the presence of the resurrected Lord as those early disciples were able to experience it, as Mary Magdalene was able to experience it on that first day, and as Thomas was able to experience it. We live in a world that still struggles to believe that it can be a better place, that the world can be a better place. But we are, you and I, we are the body of Christ. Jesus says that as God has sent me, so I send you. We are the body of Christ with all of our wounds, with all of our shortcomings. We are Christ's body in the world. The world will not be convinced simply by what we say. The world will not be convinced by how many times we proclaim. The world will not be convinced by any of that. The world will only be convinced when they're able to experience the body of Christ as they experience it in you and in me. Clarence Jordan, who helped to start the Habitat for Humanity movement, once said that the proof of the resurrection is not the empty tomb. The proof of the resurrection is not the rolled away stone. But the proof of resurrection, the proof that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, is in a carried away church. A church that goes out into the world to proclaim the good news, not by what we say, but by how we live out the good news of the gospel and by how we embrace God's new reality in our own lives. If we as God's people do not live in the way that God has called us to live, if we do not live as if we are a people of peace, if we do not live as if we are a people of forgiveness, if we do not live as if we are a people of grace, then nothing that we can say will be able to convince our contemporaries that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. But if we live as that Spirit-filled community, if we live in that way that Jesus lived when he was with us, when we show love towards one another, when we live as the community of peace, when we are a forgiving people in a world that finds it hard to forgive, then the world will be able to see and experience the risen Lord in their midst. We are called to be the resurrection people. We are called to be the good news people. We are called to bear witness to God's new reality in our midst. We are called to resist the power of death in our lives, the power of death that wants to convince us that we should not believe. Do not believe. That's what the power of death says. Do not believe. Do not believe that people of different social and racial classes can get together and live side by side. Do not believe that. Do not believe that nations can get together and live in peace. Do not believe that. Do not believe that people who were former enemies can become friends. Do not believe that. Do not believe that. But we are reminded that we are called to live the power of the resurrection in our world and in our lives. We are that new community. We are that beloved community. We are that resurrected community. We are that community that has experienced God's presence in our midst. Tradition tells us that Thomas would later go to be the apostle to India, and there he would be martyred, bearing witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't know how many people that Thomas won over for Christ, but we imagine that his contributions were significant, as many of the other disciples' contributions are significant. But we are called to take the struggle that is inside of our hearts. We are called not to deny that struggle, but to take that struggle and to seek to touch that new reality that has come in to our world. Most of the people in the world will say, we're not being realist. That's just not the way the real world works. You guys need to get real. You guys got to get real. You're not supposed to love your enemies. You're supposed to seek vengeance on your enemies. You're supposed to bomb your enemies. That's the way we're supposed to live. That's what reality is all about. Get real. You're not supposed to live in peace. You're supposed to be vigilant. You're supposed to be constantly watching and vigilant and careful. That's the way you're supposed to live. You're not supposed to live as a people of grace. You're supposed to be anxious and fearful. That's the way you're supposed to live. But we are reminded who we are. We are the body of Christ. We are the people who, in our very being, bear witness to the world of a whole new reality in the midst of this world. It is God's reality of love and peace and justice and grace. As we continue in this season of Eastertide, let us too help the world to proclaim that they have seen the Lord. Let us too help the world experience the presence of the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Lord, and how we live our lives, how we embrace one another, and how we embrace the world that we've been called to serve and to love. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, this is your world, the world that you have redeemed through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you help us to be able to discern your new reality breaking into the world. Help us to truly believe that in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are making all things new, that you are transforming not only our lives, but you are transforming communities, and you are transforming this world that you have made good. We ask that you help send us out into this world, not as people who are out to condemn the world, but as your loving community sent out to forgive the world. Help us to begin that forgiveness and that peace and that grace inside of our own hearts and with one another in our community. And help us to live as the resurrected people, the Easter people that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.